Blog Talk Radio.
Kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair to call in, for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that he or she loves the most. Again, Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterbacks. You can hear Stokers and Beer Monday through Thursday, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, you can hear Stokers and Beer most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. WBEST, Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST in Chula Vista, California. Our topic for today will be NFL playoff positioning for Week 16. The host of debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most. Topics covered but not limited to will be NFL playoff seeding and scores from the NBA, NHL, NCAA men's and women's action. Again, today's topic is NFL playoff positioning for Week 16. If you'd like to call in to the show and debate the host or correct the host on anything, call in to 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. All right. Breaking news this morning. NFL Hall of Famer, NFL great, NFL legend, Franco Harris has passed away. All my media outlets, I've been checking my media sources and everything to make sure this is a correct situation, because I like to make sure that I'm factual on my show But I just seen a press release from Art Rooney II about the passing of Franco Harris. He's well known for the immaculate reception for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. I believe they were playing against the Raiders. They've been talking about the immaculate reception. I believe this week is the anniversary for the immaculate reception. But and Franco Harris, from what I was hearing, had done an interview yesterday. Seemed to be in great health. And this morning, I guess sometime early this morning, he passed away. I don't know the details of his passing. I don't know the details of everything that's going on with the whole situation, but it is being reported the NFL platform. I look at their media platform, and it's a lot of people sending out their well wishes, their condolences, rather, to Franco Harris and his family. May he rest in peace. But the great Hall of Famer, the great Pittsburgh Steeler Franco Harris, has passed away based on my media research on the NFL media platform. So we'll keep Franco Harris's family in our prayers during this holiday season. It's sad when you lose a loved one, especially a loved one of his greatness during the holiday season. So we'll keep his family in our prayers, and from the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, rest in peace, Franco Harris. So with that being said, I'm going to segue back over to my topic, but if anyone would like to call in and, you know, share their thoughts about Franco Harris or give their condolences to his family on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, you can call in the area code 515-602-9687. Again, you can call in. It's 515-602-9687. And, again, our topic for today is NFL playoff positioning for Week 16. So today is just going to be a pretty much I don't have any major stuff. I'm just going to be talking about stuff that comes across the monitor today. Any breaking news, any scores, anything like that. There was no game last night. Had some college games yesterday. I believe Liberty wound up beating in the Boca Raton Bowl. I believe Liberty wound up beating who they play. Toledo. I think Liberty topped Toledo, but I'll get the actual score on that and make sure that's the correct bowl I'm talking about. I think there was a Boca Raton Bowl. Then we had another bowl right before that. Well, who was playing in that one? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But it was two bowls. We had San Jose State playing Eastern Michigan, and Eastern Michigan pulled that one out. San Jose State tried to make a late comeback, and they were up in the game early. Then I think a couple key turnovers put Eastern Michigan in business. So, and again, on the monitor, Steelers Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. Steelers Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. And they're showing the Immaculate Reception 1972 AFC Divisional Playoff game. They're showing that. So it's going to be a lot of stuff going on the monitor today about Franco Harris and the Immaculate Reception. Because I believe this week is the actual anniversary of that game. So it's going to be a lot of stuff going on the monitor today about Franco Harris. Again, may he rest in peace. But yes, just trying to just give you give everybody my take on everything, you know, as far as what's going on in the sports landscape. Again, I'm just, you know, looking through the monitor they now have. I'm now looking at Jerome Bettis, another Pittsburgh Steelers great, you know, talking about Franco Harris and what he looked like, what he meant to him. So, again, Hall of Famer running back, Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. So, that's gonna be a lot of what's going on today around all the media outlets. Last night the New York Knicks in NBA action, they defeated They defeated the Golden State Warriors. I'll get the correct score, but the Knicks did defeat the Golden State Warriors, and the Knicks are currently on an 8-game winning streak. They're currently on an 8-game win streak. So, yeah, that's a lot. That's good for the Knicks. The Utah Jazz 126, Pistons 111. Utah Jazz beat the Detroit Pistons 126-111. Just reading off news as it comes across my monitor. Again, in NBA action, the Jazz over the Pistons, 126-111. Jazz over the Pistons. The Bulls, 113, Heat, 103. Bulls defeat the Heat, 113-103. Bulls defeat the Heat, 113-103. Bulls end the four-game losing streak. So that's a big win for the Bulls. The experts are saying they need to break both of those teams up. The Knicks defeat the Warriors 132-94. New York Knicks 132, Golden State Warriors 94. But that's the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry. So, I mean, I believe Steph Curry was playing in their basketball game. Add 30 points to the Knicks score, and there you have it. They might have edged that game out against the Knicks. But this is without – they're 1-5 without Curry this season, 1-5 without Curry with the shoulder injury. But as soon as the Sheriff gets back, you know what time it is. Soon as the sheriff gets back, you know what time it is. Wizards 113, Suns 110. The Wizards beat the Suns 113-110. Wizards defeat the Suns 113-110 in NBA action. The Nuggets 105, Grizzlies 91. Nuggets 105, Grizzlies 91. So the Denver Nuggets over the Memphis Grizzlies 105-91. Nuggets 105, Grizzlies 91. Jokic had 13 points, 13 rebounds, and 13 assists. Second straight triple-double. Second straight triple-double for Jokic. Jokic 82nd triple-double. Third most by player before the age of 28. I don't know why that stat was important, but these guys with these data analytics and all this stats, man, this is crazy. Yeah, anyway, Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, his third straight triple-double this year. Carlos Carrera agrees with the Mets. 28-year-old agrees to a deal with the New York Mets in Major League Baseball news. I believe they were saying Carrera had to do some more medical stuff before they done this press conference, so I guess they cleared that up. So it looked like he's going to go ahead and ink the deal with the New York Mets in Major League Baseball news. Yeah, so like I said, you know, a lot of today is a sad day for the NFL. You know, the passing of Franco Harris, I kind of like pretty much woke up into that news. Woke up this morning into that news. I thought it was just Immaculate Reception. But I seen something yesterday about the Immaculate Reception, but I don't recall them saying anything about Franco Harris was in any bad health or any hospice-like situation. And so to wake up this morning, then the man just kind of like just passed overnight. They're not putting up the details of how he passed. You know how it goes sometimes, you know, people just pass in their sleep. They go to sleep and they don't wake back up, you know, for whatever reason. Whether it could be sleep apnea or somebody had a heart attack or a stroke in their sleep or whatever, you just never know. You never know. So, you know, that's why I make it a rule at nighttime. Before I go to bed, you know, at least, you know, to try to have, before you go to bed, just try to make peace with everybody. That's why I put it like that. It could be if you're in a relationship, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, fiance, whatever, make peace with that person. If it's your family members, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, make peace with people. Your close friends that you've been, I'm talking about your really close friends, your really best friends, friends that you know that are friends. Make peace with those people because you never know. Tomorrow's just not promised to us. Tomorrow's just not promised to us to wake up and be here. Life is short. Life is short. And I don't mean to preach to you, but I mean this definitely is evidence that, you know, somebody who's just doing a radio interview, one of the media experts today was saying that they had just done an interview with this person about the Immaculate Reception, because I believe this is the week that they're celebrating that NFL story of the Immaculate Reception. Franco Harris caught a pass from a low pass from Terry Bradshaw. It was almost like a shoestring catch, you know. Caught it off the shoelaces, or off almost before it hit the turf. He scooped it up and ran it in for a touchdown against the then Oakland Raiders. So, you know, they was interviewing him yesterday about that, one of the media experts, and he said that Franco seemed to be in good health. I mean, I heard the interview. He was talking well, sounded well, everything like that. But when it all came down to it, you know, however you want to look at it, however you believe, God, the universe, whatever the case, however you believe in that higher power, that power that's greater than all of us, that power that's greater than all of us called him home. That power that's greater than all of us, however you want to believe it, whatever name you call it, it said, it's time for you to come home. Your work here is done. It's time for you to transition over to this side. So it could be Franco Harris today. It could also be me and you today or tomorrow. We don't know. So my biggest thing is, you know, just taking a moment to just give respect to Franco Harris as far as me knowing what I know about him. I was kind of young when he played. I was definitely a kid. You know, in that immaculate reception, I wasn't even on this earth. I wasn't even born yet. I wasn't born until 2 years later. But I do remember, as I was growing up, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, remembering I liked the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I liked Terry Bradshaw, and I liked Mean Joe Green. But I remember that commercial as a little boy, wanting to be that little kid in the tunnel, getting that Coca-Cola, you know, from Mean Joe Green. Everybody remembers, everybody my age, you know, if you're 48, you know, anywhere between 48 and 55, you know, you remember that commercial. So, you know, just like I said, you know, it's just a somber motion, a somber feel, you know, around the sports world right now with the passing of Franco Harris. You know, I think it's just, you know, I'm sitting here trying to talk about different scores and different stuff like that as they're coming across. But, you know, it's kind of hard to get off into a lot of this other different stuff around the sports world because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this was a great man, Franco Harris, 1950 to 2022, Franco Harris, born 1950, died 2022. Almost made it into 2023, but again, Steelers Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. So, again, and then like I said, they got his picture up. They got his picture of Franco Harris. You know, you just never know, people. You gotta love everybody while they're here. Try to, you know, and I say this here, even in, like in my own family right now, and I'll share this personal note, even in my own family right now, you know, my father and one of my brothers, they're not talking. And this is the type of stuff that I always try to tell people, you know, let all this stuff go, you know. But when you're talking to grown people, grown men, grown women, whatever, everybody got their ways. Everybody might say, well, they can apologize first. Then somebody might say, well, I'm the father. They should apologize to me. And it just goes back and forth, two people taking their position on who's right and who wrong. You know, you could wake up in the morning, and it could be a situation like with Franco Harris. Somebody's not here now. Somebody might have passed on in their sleep, and they don't wake up the next morning. And then you haven't fixed the situation between you and that person. So that's why I'm just taking a moment to just tell everybody out there, you know, during this holiday season, you know, we're in the holiday season for Christmas coming up, going into the new year for 2023. Take the time, if you ain't got your business fixed with your loved ones, take the time to get your business fixed with your loved ones, because you never know. You never know when you wake up and then somebody's going to be gone. Now, I know this is a sports story with Franco Harris, but that's us in the sports world. Our take on it is that he was a great player. He'll be dearly missed and all these different things, especially for those in sports that knew him. Those in the sports that knew him, they'll they're gonna feel the sting of this a little bit more than I do, because I didn't personally know Franco Harris. Like I said, he was around before I even came along on this earth. He was the Immaculate Reception was in 1972. I was born in 1974, but again, I know who he was. You know, all these years. Look, you know, because during the back in the day, they don't really do this too much now, but back in the day before the Super Bowl, all they played was NFL films. All those people, all they played was every Super Bowl game up until the current Super Bowl game. So that's how I kind of like familiarize myself with the four Super Bowls that Terry Bradshaw navigated with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers is this. Terry Bradshaw is from Louisiana. And everybody that listens to the show know I'm all about Louisiana because that's where I'm from. I'm from Monroe, Louisiana, and about 35 minutes up the road is a town called Ruston, Louisiana. And Terry Bradshaw played quarterback for the Louisiana Tech. And Louisiana Tech is in Ruston, Louisiana. And I believe Terry Bradshaw, if he's not from Ruston, he's from somewhere around there. But if I'm correct, he's from Louisiana as well. But even if he's not from Louisiana, which I'm pretty sure he is. If he ain't from Louisiana, he's from Texas, one or the other. But Terry Bradshaw quarterbacked at Louisiana Tech. So that's why I'm also fond of Terry Bradshaw, not just that he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was one of my childhood favorite teams, but the fact that he quarterbacked for Louisiana Tech, for Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Terry Bradshaw was our quarterback, and he got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, anyway, like I said, I didn't know Franco Harris personally. I knew of him. I knew of the Immaculate Reception. I knew of the championship run that the Pittsburgh Steelers had. I think in his interview yesterday, he said they was in eight championship games and got four Super Bowls. You know, eight championship games, four Super Bowls. So it's like when it all comes down to it, you know. And I think that's what he said in his interview. Anywhere from eight, I think he said either six or eight championship games. But I know, of course, they got four Super Bowls out of those championship game appearances that led to a four Super Bowls. But if you like to call in and talk about the passing of Franco Harris, your memories about Franco Harris, call in to 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, if you'd like to call in and talk about that. Across the monitor again, we got Eagles at the Cowboys, -4.5. It's going to be on Christmas Eve. Jerry Jones says the odds of OBJ joining the Cowboys this season are diminishing. Where do Odell and the Cowboys go from here? Jerry Jones says odds of OBJ joining the Cowboys this season are diminishing. Where do Odell and the Cowboys go from here? I say this, in my opinion, I just feel like it's a waste of time to even be trying to deal with this. The Dallas Cowboys got a big game coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles, even if Jalen Hurts ain't playing. They got a capable Gardner Minshew that is stepping in to play. And speaking of Minshew, he's stepping in with a heavy heart because his coach, rest in peace, Mike Leach from Washington State, just recently here passed away within the last, 7 to 10 days, if I'm correct. And they were saying Gardner Minshew yesterday was given the eulogy. If it wasn't yesterday, I know it was at least this past weekend, he was out giving a eulogy for Mike Leach. So, again, rest in peace, Mike Leach. But Gardner Minshew, he's stepping in with a heavy heart, I'm quite sure, taking on this assignment to play against the Dallas Cowboys because Jalen Hurts is out. Jalen Hurts is out with a sprained shoulder. And so he's not totally ruled out, but it's a big chance that Gardner Minshew is going to have to be ready to be at the helm for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know. And but right now, this stuff about Dallas, this is a big game, whether Jalen Hurts play or whether Gardner Minshew plays. This is a big game for Dallas as far as playoff positioning, which is our topic. As far as playoff positioning goes in the NFC, it's a big game. And plus, they're still trying to, you know, see who's going to win the division because the Dallas Cowboys are just like, if I'm correct, two games behind. So if they win out and the Philadelphia Eagles, lose the next two, then this could be big for Dallas. So the thoughts of bringing OBJ in right now in the mix of this is like, why? Why do you need him? I like OBJ. Remember, I said I like everything Louisiana sports. OBJ played at LSU. And if I'm correct, he is a Louisiana native, if I'm correct. I think he's from out around New Orleans, somewhere around there. But however, even if he's not, but if I'm correct, he is from a native of Louisiana like myself, and he did play at LSU. So I like Odell Beckham. Don't get me wrong. Awesome athlete. But the injury, he's been injury prone, you know, throughout his career. Had injuries with the Giants, which led him to wind up going to the Browns. I think he had a couple of nagging injuries with the Browns, and then now he wound up going to L.A. And, the move from the Browns to L.A. wasn't necessarily the injuries, I don't think, but I do think he had a couple of nagging injuries there too. But he wound up going to L.A. because of the situation with him and Baker Mayfield, all the negative press about their relationship. And Odell's father was in the mix of that some kind of way. And, you know, so that got messy. He winds up in L.A., wind up getting to the performing well, I believe, for a few games, doing well, got to the Super Bowl, scored in the Super Bowl. And then, after he scored that touchdown in the Super Bowl, a little while later, he was running the route, messed his knee up. That was, last year? That was last year. And so it's like, he's trying to come back, but for whatever reason, they didn't re-sign Beckham. The Rams didn't re-sign him to a long-term situation, maybe because of the injury. I'm quite sure that's what it was, and he's been injury-prone. But now he's been on this tour, this who gonna sign me tour type of thing, you know, just meeting with different teams, interviewing for jobs. You know, just like anybody else looking for a job when you're out of work, you know, you got to go out and do interviews. So he's right, you know, going around doing interviews with different teams because he is a professional athlete, high-level professional athlete, and he feels that he can come back. He's just trying to show everybody in all these different football franchises that, hey, I'm healthy. I just need a little time to rehab this knee, a couple more weeks to rehab this knee before I can feel like I can get out there and really just get in the game. So I guess he was thinking that maybe that Dallas would give him that time and just let him rehab. But then, you know, how I go when the doctors get in there and the doctors are there and the team reps are there and they're looking at everything. They're pulling and tugging on their knee and they find out their knee is sore and still kind of stiff. And then they say, hey, can you go out here and run some routes and let's see how you look on it? And he say, I'm not really ready to run routes yet because it's still kind of stiff. And we got to understand, people, it's the wintertime. It's cold out here. You know, it's cold everywhere right now, even on the West Coast. It's right now it's 48 degrees and sunny in San Diego, but anything below 51 in San Diego, for us, that's cold. So, you know, you get out here, you're trying to run around on an injury, and that knee is stiff, bones are cold, bones are stiff, joints are stiff, tendons are stiff, and then, you know, you're trying to get a guy to get out here and start running routes and all this stuff. Even if it's in an indoor heated facility, it doesn't matter. You've probably been out in the cold. And it's just like you're trying to get this guy to go ahead and run, and he's like, hey, man, I just need some more time to stretch this leg, this knee out. I need more time. I'm not ready to just get out of here and play in the game, but go ahead and sign me. And maybe during the playoffs, I can be a factor if y'all go deep in the playoffs. But, you know, in the business world, it don't work like that. I'm not going to pay you. People don't want to pay for damaged goods. That's just the way it is. People don't want to pay for damaged goods. People don't want to pay for an employee that can't produce. that's not how it works in the sports world. People don't want to pay for damaged goods. So time on deck is 8:30 a.m. It is 48 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. And this is the Stogies and Bear Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBSCW Best Chula Vista, California. Our topic for today, for those of you just tuning in, is NFL playoff positioning for Week 16. Breaking news today is Franco Harris passes away at the age of 72. Franco Harris passed away today at the age of 72. Franco Harris, notably known for the Immaculate Reception AFC playoff game in 1972 against the Oakland Raiders, where he caught a pass from Terry Bradshaw. A pass went kind of low, and he pretty much almost picked it off the turf, picked it off his shoelaces, and ran it in for a touchdown to defeat the Oakland Raiders in the 1972 AFC Championship game. So we want to say rest in peace to Franco Harris, and at the same time, we want to keep his family in our prayers during this Christmas and New Year's holiday. So, again, rest in peace, Franco Harris. I'm just going to be rattling off some scores today and anything that comes up about the NFL playoffs, because right now it's all about playoff positioning. My New Orleans Saints, we're tied 5 wins with the Falcons, the Bucks, and the Panthers. I'm sorry, we're tied with 5 wins. So it goes in the NFC West. I'm sorry, NFC South. NFC South, where my team, the New Orleans Saints, reside. We got Tampa Bay at the top with 6 wins. We need them to start losing some games. We got Carolina in front of us because Carolina's beat everybody in the division, so they're in second place with 5 wins. We're right behind them in third place with 5 wins. And since we beat the Falcons 2 times, the Falcons are behind us in last place with 5 wins. But right now, the NFC South is really just up for grabs. If Tom Brady loses and one of these other teams win, you know, if one of the teams that win, like the Carolina Panthers, Carolina Panthers could easily be right in first place going into winning the division. So our division is still really up for grabs for the next 2 weeks. It's just that the Saints got to win out and some other teams got to lose. So the New Orleans Saints have still got a chance. If we can win our division, we're good. I don't think we got a good enough record to get a wild card in any scenario. So our division is going to be all about who wins the division. Our division is just like who wins the division. That's who's going to represent in the playoffs. But either way it go, I believe that whoever represents the NFC South in the playoffs, it's going to be a one-hitter quitter. They're going to be there for one game, and then they'll be going home. So, you know, it's we still got something to play for. I mean, all up until the end. I mean, me and my brother, we was talking about what the Saints' record was going to be. He felt like we should have got 11 wins. I told him 9. At first, my brother said we could have got – he seen us 13 wins. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I said I might agree with 11. But in my heart, I'm saying, or 9 wins. That's just the way I felt about it when I looked at our schedule, because I know some of the teams that we struggle with, whether it's the weather, whether it's outside versus inside, whether it's a home game or a road game, I consider all factors. I also consider who's available. And I know that, you know, our quarterback situation has just been shaky. We had Jameis Winston, thought he was going to be able to come in and do something, you know, after sitting behind Drew Brees. You know, that didn't work out. He wound up getting tearing his Achilles or whatever year before last. Wound up tearing his Achilles last year. Then we thought he was going to come back and play this year since he was healthy. But since he's been back, he hasn't started. Now, I don't know if they need to go ahead and put him out there and start him for the next 2 games or not. I don't know. Maybe they should. Maybe they should go ahead and give Jameis Winston a chance at the helm for the last 2 games. But at the same time, Andy Dalton hadn't been playing terribly bad either. He hadn't been playing terrible. So, I mean, I kind of see them bringing Andy Dalton back next year for the Saints and probably cutting Jameis Winston and putting him out on the market. Since he's healthy, you can get something for him, send him somewhere else. the way Tom Brady is playing, you probably can send him back to Tampa. With the way Tom Brady is playing, you probably can send him back to Tampa. But, you know, I always had this thing, once you join up with the Saints, I kind of like to see you stay with the Saints. You know, you're over here with us now, might well, you know, I feel like if they keep Jameis Winston around, long as he's cool being the backup or carrying the clipboard, running the practice squad until we need you, you know, I'm cool with that too. I mean, he does have an arm. He has been in the playoffs. He did win a Heisman Trophy. He has been in a national championship game. So, and if I'm incorrect on anything that I just said about Jameis Winston, feel free to call in and correct me at 515-602-9687. But I do believe Jameis Winston did win the Heisman, or he was at least in the running. But I think he won it. And that same year, I believe he won the national championship when he was at Florida State. So, you know, we can discuss it on the show if I'm incorrect about any of that. Please feel free again to call into the show at 515-602-9687, and we'll debate it, and we'll, you know, you can correct me. They got some news on the monitor now about Tom Brady and the Bucs. Speaking of the Bucs, Buccaneers -6.5 at the Cardinals. Buccaneers favored to win, -6.5 at the Cardinals. And Tom Brady is saying you can't win when the quarterback turns it over four times. Tom Brady saying you can't win when the quarterback turns it over four times. Do we like seeing the GOAT taking responsibility after a tough loss? Do we like seeing the GOAT taking responsibility after a tough loss? And Tom Brady is basically putting it on him, putting the blame on him for their last loss. You can't win when the quarterback turns it over four times. Well, that's a true fact. And I'm glad to see that Tom Brady is owning that. I'm happy to see that Tom Brady is actually owning the fact that, you know, they can that you can't win when the quarterback is throwing picks and turning the ball over. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that he's taking responsibility for it. Glad to hear it. But, you know, and I think they were up in that game 14-0, and I think the Bengals, if I'm correct, came back on them. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, I believe that's who they were playing this weekend. They were down 14-0, and Joe Burrow brought them all the way back and defeated the great Tom Brady. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that the great one is taking responsibility for his actions in that game. You know, he's looking at it like, you know, hey, we should have won that. You know, that's my fault. However, I need them to lose. I need them to lose against the Cardinals on Saturday, because if they lose and the Saints win, we got the Browns. So we got a tough game. They got a tough game. I just, for whatever reason, see that the tide is going to turn in Tom Brady's favor. He just knows how to win. Even if we win against the Browns, say for us, we go out there and we dominate on defense. Shut down Deshaun Watson. Shut him down. Expose him. Because again, he hadn't been back that long. He's just now kind of like starting to, in my opinion, starting to settle in to his role as quarterback again. But it's our job to come out on Sunday and disrupt him settling into that role. It's our job on defense, and we got the defense to do it. It's our job. Cam Jordan and all them guys, it's our job, Honey Badger, it's our job to disrupt his timing, to disguise what he's seeing. It's our job to do that. And the bottom line is the great Tom Brady, he's going to go out there and try to destroy the Cardinals, and that's going to be our problem. Tom Brady is just one of those guys that no matter what the Saints try to do to get their positioning for the first place in the division, Tom Brady just finds a way to shut the door on our hopes. When they played against the Rams, we had a good opportunity. But the Rams couldn't beat them. They let Tom Brady come all the way back managing the clock. When we ourselves played against Tom Brady, he done the same exact thing. That thing, you know what I'm talking about. That thing that he does, there's no name for it. I don't think no one has ever came up with a name for this thing that he does, but all we know is it's a thing, and And when he does it, you can't stop it. It's a matter of leadership, a matter of pinpoint accuracy passing, and clock management. Leadership, passing accuracy, clock management, I don't know what you call it. All I know is it's a thing that he does. And I'm taking the time to go into this thing with the NFC South because it's up for grabs, and the Saints are in third place. We're in third place. We need Carolina to lose. We need Atlanta to lose so they can stay behind us. We need Tom Brady and the Bucks to lose so we can get into first place. If everybody loses and we win, we're in first place in the division. We're in first place. We're in the driver's seat. But I know Tom Brady going to have something to say about it. He's going to have something to say about that for the next 2 weeks because he understands he can go back to the playoffs. And in his mind, 9 times out of 10, the great one is saying that all I need is just to take a game at a time. I'm quite sure he's telling all his guys, just a game at a time, guys. Just a game at a time. We're talking about a man that was losing to the Atlanta Falcons when he was with the New England Patriots, losing to the Atlanta Falcons like, I think, 21 or 23 to zip at halftime. I mean, the Falcons were serving them a chicken dinner. The Falcons were serving them some bird. They got a heavy dose of bird in that first half against the Falcons. And it's like, but Tom Brady, I remember they were showing on the highlights, he was just telling those guys, one play at a time, guys, one play at a time, one score at a time, guys, just one score at a time, just give me a score. And they buy into that. They buy into that leadership. They buy into his calm, his cool, his collectiveness. Excuse me. They buy into this. And so once Tom Brady gets that first score, everybody's like, okay, all right, he might be on to something. Then defense stands up, get details of defense. Just give me the ball back. Just give me the ball back. He gets the ball back. He starts getting first downs, letting the defense rest, getting the first downs. Then they score. Then his teammates are looking at him like, okay, now we see where he's trying to go. Next thing you know, defense is rested up. They get another 3 and out. Then Tom Brady comes in. Now the game's tied up. That's kind of like how it went in that Super Bowl when he was with the New England Patriots and the Falcons had him down. I believe that was 2018. If it wasn't 2018, it was 2017. 2017, 2018, somewhere in there. I think it might have been 2017 when the Patriots and the Falcons played each other in the Super Bowl. And so it's just like, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this whole thing, and I'm like, man, how does he do it? But that's how he does it. It's that leadership to keep everybody calm. Now, he could get psycho sometime and get a little irate. And, you know, and that everybody have a bad day. He has those days. But for the most part, Tom Brady is cool as a cucumber. He might look frustrated, but he keeps his cool. And he just tells his whole thing seems to me is that just chip away at it. As long as I can get the ball back, I got a chance. And he don't look at the whole scenario. He just looks at it in pieces. Let me control the piece that I'm in right now. And when the game is over with, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. We can't do nothing about that. But I'm gonna control the piece that I'm in right now. This piece of the story that I'm in right now. Meaning when I get the ball back, I got to control that particular time frame of this game when I got the ball. I just can't see nobody but Tom Brady really winning this division for the NFC South. I just feel like when the Saints need help, we don't get it. And sometimes I think some of these teams, because they know it's going to help the Saints, they don't try their hardest to beat Tom Brady. Like Arizona, they'll go out there and they'll lay an egg. They'll go out there and lay a goose egg and let Tom Brady beat them. Then so now they got 7 wins. You know, they got 7 wins now. Then knowing us, we might go out there and beat Cleveland. And then, you know, Carolina, they'll go win their game. I see the play. I see the play. I see the NFC South being just like it is. Us in third place. Atlanta in the last place. Carolina in second. And they did beat everybody in the division. You know, like DC, my number one sports contributor, was saying yesterday, when you don't win your division games, they come back to haunt you, because that's the person who's going to be representing your division, the person who won all their divisional games in most cases. That's the person that's going to win the division and going to go on to represent. Anybody behind them may or may not get a wild card depending on their record. NFC South is up for grabs, people. But we're going to take a quick station break right now. Late Night Dog needs to get a little coffee and get his faculties together. But we're going to take a quick station break, and we're going to come back right about the top of the hour. For those of you just tuning in, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today is NFL playoff positioning for week six. So if you want to call in and talk about your team and their playoff positioning, talk about your division, call in at 515-602-9687. Call in at 515-602-9687. Again, we're just talking this morning about NFL playoff positioning for week 16. And breaking news today, the great Franco Harris, the man most known for the Immaculate Reception, has passed away this morning at the age of 72. So it's a lot of people on the monitor sharing their thoughts, sharing their condolences for the great, late great Franco Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Hall of Famer with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, we all on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Everybody that participates on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show wants to give out our condolences to Franco Harris's family during Christmas, during this holiday season going into the new year. We want to give our condolences, and we want to say on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, we want to say rest in peace. Rest in peace. With that being said, I'm going to go off into some music mix and everything like that. And we'll be right back. Stand by. Hello, and welcome back to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Miro Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 51 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Time on deck is 9:03 a.m. Time on deck is 9:03 a.m. And if you want to call into the show, call in to 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. I apologize, therefore, I had like a little sound issue. I had my mic on mute while I was playing my music. But anyway, I apologize. I had a little bit of silence there for a minute. Hopefully, I still got everybody tuned in. But anyway, today's topic is NFL playoff positioning for Week 16, NFL playoff positioning for Week 16. And for those of you just tuning in again, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBSCW Best. And I'm your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Again, our topic is NFL playoff positioning for Week 16. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most. Topics covered but not limited to will be NFL playoff seeding and scores from the NBA, NHL, and NCAA men's and women's action. So today, if you'd like to call in and talk about your football, your NFL team's positioning within their division and within the whole scope of the conference, call in the 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And again, I apologize for a little sound technical difficulty there. I had my mic on mute as I was doing my music mix, but I'm taking my station break, but I didn't come back on air on time. I was talking to a muted mic. I was working, but you just couldn't hear me. But anyway, in today's news, Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. Four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, Super Bowl IX MVP. Four-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, Super Bowl IX MVP. Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris dies at 72. So yesterday, the media experts were saying that they did an interview with him about the immaculate reception. That's what he's notably known for, the immaculate reception where Terry Bradshaw threw him a pass, and it went kind of low and almost hit the ground. And he picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown to win the AFC Championship in 1972 against the Oakland Raiders. So he happened to be on a TV, on a radio talk show with one of the media experts, and the media expert actually played the clip of the interview that I guess they'll be running this week. But the interview, he seemed to have all his faculties. He seemed to be healthy, seemed to be well, seemed to be fine physically. So it was a shock to everybody this morning when they woke up. He was gone. When most of us woke up this morning, we seen the news. I woke up to the news that he had passed away. And I'm like, well, I seen them saying some stuff about the immaculate reception, but it didn't seem to be that he had passed away. So it was like, let me check my media sources. Let me go and check my social media outlets that I use and see what they're saying. So I verified it on the NFL media platform, and it had a statement up there from Art Rooney II, and saying a big statement about Franco Harris. I'll try to read that before we get off the air, so I can let you know what they said and everything like that. But on the monitor, saying Art Rooney II, still as president, says it's difficult to find appropriate words to describe Franco Harris' impact on the Pittsburgh Steelers, his teammates, the city of Pittsburgh, and Steelers Nation. From his rookie season, which included, well, kind of like, but anyway, Franco brought joy to the people on and off the field. He never stopped giving back in so many ways. He touched so many, and he was loved. Our thoughts and prayers are with his wife, Dana, his son, Doc, and his extended family at this difficult time. I'll try to get you the actual statement here shortly off my media. So they were kind of like on the monitor. They were going through it kind of fast, so I couldn't read that fast. So anyway, but that's just some of this, you know, you kind of like get an idea of what Art Rooney II was trying to say, just giving his respect and condolences and everything to the family of Franco Harris, and just kind of like, you know, sending up his condolences, his thoughts about him to Franco Harris on the other side. So that you kind of like get an idea of where Art Rooney II was going with it. And again, us at the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, we want to give our condolences out to Frank, to the Harris family, and everything like that, to the family of Franco Harris. We want to give our condolences to them and keep them in your prayers during this Christmas holiday season going into the new year. It's hard to lose a loved one of that stature. A loved one of that stature. I mean, it's one thing to you know, we all love our people that's close to us, but you know, that person was loved by his family, his friends, the city of Pittsburgh, the franchise. You know, this man was known all over football. And you know, football is a big deal in the United States, and he's definitely a key piece, a Hall of Famer. The Immaculate Reception Game, winning 4 Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers, winning the MVP in Super Bowl IX. This was Franco Harris. This man was of great stature in his family network, in his friends network, in his business network. This is a person that was of great stature that we in football land have lost during this holiday season. And the biggest thing is, you know, this man meant a lot, I'm quite sure, to his family. And they've lost a man of great stature, a man of great stature during this holiday season. So we want to, again, keep that Franco Harris's family in our prayers during this holiday season. And at the same time, we want to say rest in peace to Franco Harris. He was around a little bit before my time. I was born in 74. He the Immaculate Reception was in 72. But I do remember, as I was growing up, 5 years old, always seeing those highlights of those games. And definitely, you know, like I said earlier, during the Super Bowl, Super Bowl Sunday, they would play every highlight of each one of those Super Bowl games, from Super Bowl I up until the current Super Bowl. That's all you seen all day, was the old school clips of how the teams got to the Super Bowl and stuff and the results of it. I remember a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, highlights from those 4 Super Bowls led by Terry Bradshaw. So I'm definitely familiar with Franco Harris. I don't remember seeing him play a lot as a little kid, you know, because like I said, I was born in 74. And when I could finally start understanding the game, it might have been around about 79 or 80, you know, about 5 or 6 years old then. And I was, you know, able to kind of like understand that I always see this team in black and gold. That's my team. And I remember Terry Bradshaw was a big deal back then. And Terry Bradshaw, unbeknown to me at the time, played football in Louisiana at Louisiana Tech, right up the road from where I was living at in Monroe, Louisiana. So I'm definitely familiar with Steelers Nation, because like I said, I grew up a Steelers fan. That was my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then, you know, somewhat the Dallas Cowboys when Tony Dorsett started being good. But definitely Terry Bradshaw, Pittsburgh Steelers, Mean Joe Green, Franco Harris. That you know, I liked that black and gold team. But anyway, we want to give a big offer our condolences to Franco Harris's family, and again, just saying rest in peace, Franco Harris. But if you want to call in and talk about Franco Harris or talk about the topic, which is NFL playoff positioning for Week 16, call in to area code 515-602-9687. Again, area code 515-602-9687, and call in and talk about the topic, talk about Franco Harris, and talk about the sport you love the most. This show, we talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We also cover NBA, and we also cover the NHL, NCAA men's and women's sports, Major League Baseball. So it's everything. Today is one of them days that everything's coming across the wire. I'm just going to pop it out there. Today is the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. So that's why a lot of this is about Franco Harris is going on today, because this week is the 50th anniversary for the immaculate reception. And then, you know, we just lost Franco Harris. He is an untimely death. I mean, we're sitting here, everybody celebrating the immaculate reception. And then the most notable piece of that immaculate reception, Franco Harris, has left us this morning after he was just on air doing the interview yesterday. And I heard some of the interview, and the interview, he seemed to be fine. So this goes back to show you that during this holiday season, like I was saying earlier, I'm going to take a minute to say it again. Everybody make peace with your loved ones. Make peace with your loved ones. Because, you know, like I said earlier, even in my family, I'll get personal for a minute. My father and a brother of mine are not talking right now. They ain't talked in over a year, like a year and some change now, a year and a half or so. And it's over some foolishness, over some misunderstanding. But, you know, you got two people that's both stubborn. One person is saying, well, I'm the dad. I should be apologized to. The other person is saying, well, you know, he is my father, but he got to, you know, he can apologize as well. So if two people ain't going to apologize, then I guess there's not going to be any talking. But the sad part about it is either of them cannot be waking up in the morning, just like Franco Harris today didn't wake up this morning. You know, so what the point I'm making is, make peace with your loved ones, definitely during this holiday season, going into Christmas, going into the new year. It's supposed to be all about love, forgiveness, starting over. A new year brings new changes. New year, plan for change. And so, you know, tell your loved ones you love them, make peace with them, forgive them, move forward into the new year. So that's my piece on life, because life is short. And life is precious. Life is short, and life is precious. If you don't remember anything that I say on this show, remember that. Life is short, and life is precious. Make peace with one another. Friends, family, make peace. Anyway, got a lot of scores and everything coming up on the monitor. I'll get some NHL scores out here in just a second. They got the Wild against the Ducks tonight at 10 Eastern. Minnesota Wild against the Anaheim Ducks, 10 Eastern. Coyotes against the Golden Knights, 10 Eastern. Got a lot of hockey coming up tonight. Baseball news, Carlos Carrera agrees to a 12-year, $315 million deal with the Mets. Carlos Carrera agrees to a 12-year, $315 million deal with the Mets. Carrera had agreed to a 13-year, $350 million deal with the Giants. Carrera had agreed to a 13-year, $350 million deal with the Giants, but he agrees to a 12-year, $315 million deal with the Mets. Shorter contract, a little bit less money with the Mets. I don't know if that's a good idea. He didn't go to the Giants, but the Mets were in the playoffs. Maybe that's why he did it. I know yesterday was saying that they postponed his interview, I guess because of some medical stuff, but I guess they got that all squared away now. He's already signed, inked the deal. Carlos Carrera agrees to a 12-year, $315 million deal with the New York Mets. That's in baseball news. Got a lot of baseball signings. Got a lot of baseball signings because the winter meetings, if I'm correct, is over with. They had the winter meetings here in San Diego, California. But they got a lot of baseball key signings that's been going on the last, you know, 2 weeks. You know, with all these different players moving around in free agency trades and all this stuff. So, you know, exciting time for baseball because they're getting their business done to get their season started back. Soon as March Madness for basketball is over with, we kind of like roll off into opening day for baseball again. Exciting time. Looking forward to my Padres doing big stuff. NCAA men's action tonight, Michigan against North Carolina. 7 Eastern, Michigan against North Carolina, 7 Eastern in NCAA men's action. Segueing back to baseball, I'm just going over stuff coming up on the monitor. One of those days I'm just shelling out news. Mets have committed over $800 million to free agents this offseason. The New York Mets have committed over $800 million to free agents this offseason. Carrera, Brandon Nemo, Edwin Diaz, Justin Verlander, and Kodai Senga. So the Mets have dug in their pockets. They've committed over $800 million to free agents just this offseason. $800 million for the Mets. That's a lot of money. They're trying to win. NCAA women's action tonight, Coastal Carolina against South Carolina. I'm sorry, that game is going on right now. I apologize. Tonight we got Oregon against Ohio State in women's action, in NCAA women's action. Butler against Indiana, 1 Eastern. Butler against Indiana, 1 Eastern. And again, that South Carolina, Coastal Carolina game is going on right now. Western Michigan and Notre Dame are playing right now. Western Michigan 10, Notre Dame 15. Western Michigan 10, Notre Dame 15 in NCAA women's action. They're selling out scores, everybody. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about that's coming across the monitor. New York Knicks have not beaten the Warriors at home since February 27, 2013, except for last night. The Knicks won big last night against the Golden State Warriors. Back in NCAA women's action, Seton Hall against UConn. Seton Hall against UConn. That game is going on right now. Dartmouth against Iowa. Dartmouth against Iowa, 1 Eastern. Dartmouth against Iowa, 1 Eastern. So the ladies are already on the court. NCAA women's action, Maryland against Purdue. Maryland against Purdue. Purdue FW. NCAA women's action, Arkansas against South Florida. Arkansas against South Florida, 4 Eastern. Number 18, Arizona against UT Arlington, 4 Eastern. NCAA women's action. Number 20, Kansas against Nebraska, 7 Eastern. Number 20, Kansas against Nebraska, 7 Eastern. Montana against Gonzaga, 9 Eastern in women's action. Florida against Oklahoma, 9:30 Eastern. Florida against Oklahoma. Long Beach State against Baylor, 4 Eastern. Long Beach State against Baylor, 4 Eastern. That might be interesting. I think Long Beach puts a good product out. Wagner against St. John, 2 Eastern. Wagner against St. John's, 2 Eastern. Wagner against St. John's, 2 Eastern. Get some NBA scores up to you here soon, looks like. Anyway, though, they're saying, I mean, NBA action real quick. The Knicks 132, Warriors 94. Knicks 132, Warriors 94. Knicks route Warriors extend win streak to 8 games. New York 18 of 13, 6th in the East, longest active win streak in the NBA. Knicks are playing ball, people. Knicks are playing ball. And Soccer Man United against Burnley. Soccer Man United against Burnley. I'm segueing back and forth between sports as they come up, people. Just bear with me. Just kind of like get in where you fit in on the sport news. And just, I don't really have a major topic today besides just talking about playoff positioning for the NFL. Week 16, Jaguars against the Jets. Jags against the Jets, 8:15 Thursday. 8:15 Eastern on Thursday. Jaguars against the Jets. That's going to be a good one. Falcons against the Ravens, 1 Eastern on Saturday. Falcons against the Ravens. I need the Ravens to come through and do us a favor for that one. Lions and the Panthers, 1 Eastern on Saturday. Lions against the Panthers, 1 Eastern on Saturday. I need the Lions to do us a favor. Dan Campbell is a former New Orleans Saint, so I need him to have his team ready to win. The Bills against the Bears, 1 Eastern on Saturday. Bills against the Bears, 1 Eastern on Saturday. That's going to be a good game. They got, the Bears got their quarterback back. Saints against the Browns, 5-9. Saints against Cleveland, 6-8, 1 Eastern on Saturday. Saints against the Browns, 1 Eastern on Saturday. Saints, we need to win that. Come on, Saints Nation. Seahawks against the Chiefs, 1 Eastern on Saturday. Seahawks against the Chiefs, Seahawks 7-7, Kansas City 11-3. The Seahawks took a little nosedive here the last couple weeks. They took a little nosedive. So I'm a little concerned about them missing the playoffs. I really and especially they're in the division with the 49ers. So 49ers, they're balling. This is going to be a good playoff season because you got the 49ers that's dominant. You got the Vikings. You know, they're up and down, but they got a dominant record. You got the Eagles with a dominant record. Cowboys, they got a pretty decent dominant record as well. So between the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Vikings, the Eagles, them they got some good records right there. Because I believe got blew out by the Eagles earlier in the season. Cowboys got beat by the Eagles because they didn't have Dak Prescott. And who else? The 49ers, they don't have their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, but Purdy, Brock Purdy from Iowa State, he stepped in, you know, backup quarterback stepped in, and he's balling. Brock Purdy stepped in, and he's balling right now for the 49ers. And they got a good run game with Christian McCaffrey. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be some good playoff action. And that's just in the NFC. AFC, of course, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes. You know, they've won 11 games. I think they're 11 and I forgot, 11 and something. But anyway, they won 11 games. I was just looking at that on the monitor. KC won 11 games. I forgot how many they lost. I can't remember whether NFL are doing 17 or 18 games now. They changed it. And I don't get that detailed with it. I'm just about wins and losses. But anyway, Chiefs, they won 11 games. Bills, Dolphins, AFC, Chiefs, Bills, Dolphins. There's one more that I gotta figure out who else in the AFC is kind of like doing well off the top of my head. I'll look at the monitor shortly, but we're just talking about playoff position and the playoff games, people. So if you want to call in and talk about your team or your team's division and how you guys are positioned going into the playoffs, call in area code 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, so we can kind of like see where your standings are going into the playoffs. Yeah, so. You know, this is one of them mornings to where I can just kind of like be free. I don't have anybody to call in to the show this morning unless you're out there and you want to call in. If you call in to the show, just call in, raise your hand in queue so I can come to you. When you call in, when I come to you, just announce your first initial of your first name, first initial of your last name, and the state you're calling from. I try to keep everybody discreet on my show because you might supposed to be working or might supposed to be doing something else, and then, you know, somebody hear that you're on a radio show, they might give you away. So I don't want nobody to get fired or get in trouble with their significant other for being on my talk show without and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that's why I just say your first initial, last initial, and your state. Don't even say your city. I try to keep you as discreet as I can. I think that's pretty discreet. Just the state you're calling in from and your first and last initial. So, we just talked about NFL playoff position for week 16. I'm kind of concerned about my New Orleans Saints. I don't know how we're going to look against the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how we're going to look against the Cleveland Browns. I'm just trying to see what we can expect. You know, just trying to see what we can expect and everything. We need some help from the Baltimore Ravens. So, my number one sports contributor, DC, out there in Maryland. Hopefully, he can put his general manager's hat on, talk to his team, and have them do us a big favor against the Falcons. I need them to drop the Falcons so they can stay behind us. I need the Carolina Panthers to lose to the Detroit Lions. So I need Dan Campbell. I need Dan Campbell to have his product ready to help his former team, the New Orleans Saints, out. Dan Campbell is a former New Orleans Saint, so I need him to have that team ready. I need Amon-Ra St. Brown to be ready to go. I need Jared Goff to be ready to go. I need those guys ready to go. I need that defense ready to go. I hope Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn have everybody ready to go. Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn. I hope they got their team fired up, ready to go. I hope they're going, getting after each other in practice. I hope the offense and defense is getting after each other in practice, and I'm hoping that Aaron Glenn and Deuce Staley is getting after each other in practice like they was doing on Hard Knocks. It was kind of entertaining. They was pushing each other. But them pushing each other, look what's happened with them pushing each other. These guys are now a playoff contender. I think they started off like 1-5, and look at Detroit now. Detroit is about to go into the playoffs. Detroit's about to go into the playoffs, people. And so, you know, and I think they got a win over the Vikings, if I'm correct. I think they got a win over the Vikings. If not, I know that it was a pretty good game, if I'm remembering right, against the Vikings, the Lions and the Vikings. We got Aaron Judge on the monitor. He's doing an interview. Like I say, right now in baseball, they got a lot of key signers in Major League Baseball. A lot of money is being spun in baseball. And, you know, I'm still trying to break my way into this baseball world. It's difficult. They really don't like outsiders like myself getting into the mix of the business. But I got a person that I use as a mentor that was a Major League Baseball agent, and he still does a lot of stuff with baseball and college players trying to help him. My good friend on social media, my good friend at Sports Law Doc, @sports_law_doc on Twitter. You know, he's my baseball source and everything like that. Then I got other coaches that I deal with in baseball as well, college coaches that I've worked with trying to help their players move up. Baseball is a hard world to get into, though, but I don't give up. I never give up. I'll make my way in all three major sports, all big three major sports. I've done some great things in sports. I've been able to meet with the NFL front office, NFLPA office twice, NFL office, front office with the NFLPA guys. I met with them twice, advocating for some military cadets when they come back from overseas, serving overseas. They can get a workout, trying to advocate for that. Because here lately, I just got, just yesterday, one of my guys that actually went into the NFL front office with me, he was telling me that they was almost about to deny a young man that was going to be a late first-round pick that played at Army. They was going to deny him, and the word came from I guess, West Point or somewhere, one of the schools, saying that these service academies are building warriors. We get that, but it's so not athletes. They're saying we build warriors, not athletes. Well, that we get that, but that's why I'm trying to work with the NFL on get the guy an opportunity after he finishes his duty as a warrior. If everything goes his way, if he comes back, he ain't suffering from PTSD, he ain't suffering from losing a limb and stuff like that, he can actually still play, let him play. Because in some of those guys, that they might be a Rocky Blyer. You know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Rocky Blyer, who played with like a half a foot, because he lost half of his foot in Vietnam, okay? So you have those type of players that deserve an opportunity to come back and play. Like who is that, the big guy for the Steelers? I think his name is the offensive tackle, Valenzuela, I believe his name is. He was in Special Forces. If I'm saying his name incorrectly, call in and correct me. But you know what I'm talking about, the big 6'6". 6'7" offensive lineman from Army that you know, he's a Special Forces guy and came back, got a workout with the got a workout with the Steelers and the Steelers signed him. So it's a lot of great guys at these military service academies that want to go serve and want to be warriors, but the NFL front office got to have it set up to where I'm trying to get them to guarantee them a workout. I want it guaranteed. So I got to hit up my good friend Troy Vincent again, because somebody else here lately that was going to be a late first-round draft pick almost didn't get selected, but they just passed the bill. They just passed the bill for cadets to be able to go ahead on and have an opportunity to enter into the draft. They're giving them an opportunity to be drafted. They just passed the bill, and it should have been that way. But it goes back and forth. It's a problem. One minute is one way, next minute is the next way, which I had to learn from from the young man that I took into the front office with me to push that cause, is that it changes from secretary to secretary. So the Secretary of the Army, every time they get, you know, they get, when they elect the Secretary of the Army, Secretary of the Navy, and all this stuff, it changes from from secretary to secretary. One secretary might say, yeah, we're going to allow it. The next one might say, we're not going to do it. And that's how my guy got called up, because he probably should have been in the NFL or at least been on a practice squad somewhere. And he got caught up in that whole mix. They wasn't allowing it. So he went on, you know, he was over serving in Europe. Now he's came back, played in the indoor football league for the Las Vegas Nighthawks, moved from the indoor football league. He's going to be playing for the Memphis Showboats in the USFL. So I'm excited for him because he's going to be on TV. I'm excited for him because he's going to be playing on national television, on Fox and NBC with the USFL. And I'm believing in my heart that he's going to stick to his roster. He's going to go into camp. He already got a camp contract. He's going to go there and he's going to dominate. He plays tight end, wide receiver. But in the indoor football league, they made him into a safety. He hadn't played safety since high school. But guess what? The USFL signed him as a safety. A safety slash athlete. So he's going to go in there and he's going to be doing a little bit of everything 9 times out of 10 because he's good on special teams. He's good on offense, good on defense. So I'm excited for him. Apostrophe, at J-E-F-E apostrophe. This Ed Jefe on Twitter, Jeffy Jeckham, former IFL Las Vegas Nighthawks and current camp attendee for the USFL Memphis Showboats. So, people, it can work. You can go overseas and serve your country and come back and get an opportunity in the indoor football league, moving you up to the XFL or the USFL. It's up to you. You got to take the steps, and when you take the steps, things kind of line up in your way. This is a man also who went to Hub Camp. Hub Camp is ran by Don Yee, Super Agent Don Yee, which is Tom Brady, the GOAT's agent. He runs Hub Camp, and that's usually here in San Diego, California, in most cases, probably because the weather is good. And he went to Hub Camp. Nothing really came out of that right away. Nothing really came out of it. I mean, but it was something that he did, and I'm glad he did it, like I'm glad everybody else did it that I saw, because Hub Camp teaches you how to do a in-facility workout. It teaches you how to do an in-facility workout. You get invited to come out and interview with a team and do a workout for a team, it prepares you to do that workout correctly. It shows you what you need to work on. So I don't like to say that nothing came out of it right away. I just like to say that what he got from it was the training that he needed to do a facility workout. Plus, you're out there working out in front of Tom Brady's agent. What if he wants to pick you up? What if he says, hey, I got a team that could use that guy? So you're just putting it, when you're doing all this stuff as street-free agents, and I'm going to take a little time to get on my street-free agent platform, on my street-free agent pedestal, and kind of talk to you guys for a minute, because a lot of, sometimes you just got to be active doing stuff, investing in yourself. Think about it. All you guys are sitting back there saying that, well, I don't want to invest any money in my career. And whether that be travel, meals, and hotels to get to a workout, the fees to do a certain workout or a combine event, I don't want to put the money into it. I need somebody else to put the money into me. You know, I hate that attitude because it reminded me of when I was in the music business. Some guy saying, I want somebody to basically put their money into me. I want somebody to invest their dollars into me, and then they can get paid on the back end. But what they don't realize is usually in a deal like that, when the back end comes, you don't even want to deal with the person anymore that got you there because, you're in the room with all these different producers and A&R people and stuff like this. You're in the room now, and you forget who you came to the dance with. You forget who you came to the dance with, and you'll go ahead on and pick up somebody else because, okay, now I'm in the room. Then, you know, the person that invested their time and money into you, they ain't good enough now. Nah, man, I need to get somebody else, man, that's going to excel me, man. I can't roll with you no more, Mr. Ferran, because I need to get with somebody else that's going to go ahead on and excel me up the ladder, up the food chain. That's why I don't do back-end deals. That's why I don't do back-end deals. Number time this at 9:36, 36 minutes into the second hour. This is why I don't do back-end deals. Why I'm going to invest my money into you just so you can what? Leave me? This is also why I don't invest my money into taking a test for the NFLPA exam. I want to invest my money into that. Why I want to invest my money into that stuff? I'm going to tell you why. Because they require me to pay for a guy coming out of college. I got to pay for his room. I mean, I got to pay for his housing. I got to pay for his meals. I got to pay for his trainer. Just to get him ready for a pro day that he probably going to flunk out on anyway. Probably going to flunk out on it anyway. You probably going to bomb your pro day. Everybody that I done got people to pay money for a pro day for and stuff like that, they failed. 40 times when they tell you, oh, yeah, I'm good for a 4-4. I'm good for a 4-4-4-5. Then they go out there and run a 4-6, 4-7, 4-8. Look great on tape, look great in the game, but when you come down to that to the measuring stick, this is how the NFL cuts you, that 40 times. That's how they really cut you, that 40 times. He's too slow. And now that might not be true when you look at putting a guy in the game, because in the game you got adrenaline, you're in a real live fire situation, you're moving left and right, up and down, all this good stuff, back and forward. You're moving in all different directions. How fast can you do that in a live game action? But see, they don't. That's everybody's strong point. They're attacking your weak point. This is how they. This is how the NFL separates who's qualified to come to do an in-facility workout for the NFL. Who's qualified to come to the combine? How do they do that? They'll let them run a 40. We can't, cause everybody can't come. We gotta have some. We gotta have a cutoff. So what's the easiest way to cut a guy? Cut everybody that runs a 4-6 and below. Cut them. If you run a 4-6 and below, cut them. They're not going to be able to come to the combine. They're not going to be able to get do an in-facility invite. We're not interested in them. Another way they cut you is by saying, hey, you don't have a draft ranking to get on the draft board, meaning you didn't do a junior day. You didn't take the Wonderlink. You didn't run your 40. You didn't do your bench press. How many reps on 225? You didn't do it. You don't have a draft ranking. Pro Football Focus ain't even writing about you. They're not writing about you, your school, your program, none of that. They're not writing about you. You're not even on the draft board. So how do you get an in-facility invite, interview, and workout? How do you get invited to a facility to do an interview and do a workout for that team if Pro Football Focus ain't talking about you? They're not ranking you. ESPN ain't ranking you. All these data analytics companies, they're not ranking you. So how do you get on the draft board? You don't. So that makes you, as a street free agent, you're at best a NFL camp hopeful for 2023. And if you didn't fit the criteria last year, you are a 2022 current street free agent. 2022 current street free agent, former NFL camp hopeful 2022. So in 2022, if you didn't get invited to a camp, you are a camp hopeful trying to get a camp contract so you could go up in there and compete to stay on the roster. If that didn't happen for you, you are a current 2023 street free agent. You're a current free agent from draft class 2022, but currently a 2023 street free agent looking for a job. Kids coming out of college that just played their last collegiate contest, whether you finished up in the regular season or the playoffs, you are a 2023 NFL draft camp hopeful. You're a 2023 NFL draft class camp hopeful. You're a camp hopeful because you don't qualify to get on the draft board. You don't qualify. So all you guys need what I call help. So I'm going to tell you something that I did lately. It's called the Manifest Destiny Program. And it took me a few months to get it done. The Manifest Destiny Program was set up to scour every NAIA school. And you can find out more about NAIA at NAIA on Twitter or at iPlayNAIA Just type in at NAIA. And that's National, I believe National Athletic, in the, something like National Intercollegiate Athletics, something like that, Association, something like that. National Athletes Intercollegiate Association or something like that. Anyway, at NAIA, I'll tag all this stuff. I'll put a tag on all this stuff. But what I'm talking about right now is my the Manifest Destiny program, where I scoured every last NAIA school and asked the athletic director, because I'm all about hitting leadership, the head coach, the offensive line coach, and in some cases the recruiter or whatever, a team rep, whatever, however y'all, the systems were set up on each web page, I attacked each NAIA program with an email and a phone call. If your situation was set up the right way, you got an email and a phone call. If it wasn't set up the right way, you got a phone call. And I'm going to tell you what each one of you NAIA schools said about your players. I was asking for offensive linemen. That's all I was looking for was offensive linemen, because all these indoor and arena teams, they have a problem getting the offensive linemen to go ahead on and continue their career, because a lot of the offensive linemen say, well, it ain't worth it if I don't go to the NFL. It ain't worth it if I don't at least go to the CFL. Okay, fine. So I said, I'm going to quit talking to the players, and I'm going to start talking. I said, I'm going to go after the coach to help me encourage these players to go ahead on and sign on. Now, this is just for the offensive lineman that I was looking for. However, this is the statement that I got before I go into however. This is the statement that I got from each program. Either the coach's phone was full, voicemail was full, the coach didn't return my phone call, or the coach didn't return my email. That's the most common thing. Coach voicemail was full, so you missed your opportunity. Coach didn't return my phone call, you missed your opportunity. Coach didn't respond to my email, because he might not even check his email. Those three reasons are the main reasons why you're not getting an opportunity. For the coaches that did answer their phone, you know what they told me? Two things they told me. One common thing was, oh, well, these guys are going to stay. My guys are going to stay because they got one more COVID year. They got one more COVID year to play. I don't really know if that's a good thing or not, because usually when you're coming out late because of COVID or whatever, you're still coming out late. Or you decide to use your fifth year or whatever, you're coming out late. You know, you're coming out outside of your draft, your normally projected draft class. So it kind of like don't look good. But anyway, got most of the coaches that answered said, hey, my guys are going to use their fifth year. The other thing that they said, responded to me with, is that, oh, my guys, all my guys just going to go ahead on and start teaching or going into corporate America. They're not going to play anymore. They're done. Okay? Missed out on the opportunity there because he didn't even tell you that I was looking for you. Move that aside. The other thing was, I don't have any players that's good enough to play at the next immediate pro level, meaning that this is a coach that recruited you. The coach recruited you, and then turn around when I asked for you, and then I'm talking about offensive linemen. The coach recruited you, then I turn around and I asked for you for your services so you can come into my system and get moved up. And mind you, I wasn't even charging anything for the offensive linemen because I just wanted to get a whole lot of offensive linemen and let them use my services for free. For a free trial offer, then we could decide later if you want to continue to work with me, and then we could talk about the service fees at that point. But this right here, this Manifest Destiny program was set up to help to take offensive linemen from NAIA programs. And I'm currently finishing up my D2. I got 20 more D2 schools left out there. And after I finish those schools up in the next couple of days, I'm going to have the same conversation about the D2 schools, because I at least wanted to have going into the pro day season and the bowl seasons and stuff like that for you small school kids and the combines, the combines you may have to pay to attend or whatever. I want to make sure that at least the D2 kids and all the NAI kids had an opportunity off back. And I'll finish up with D3. But D3, there are a lot of private schools out there, so, you know, it can kind of like be kind of up and down on their whole situation. I don't know if they're trying to just be corporate America kids going to these D3 private schools or what. You know, it's talent at all levels. But I'm going to finish it out with my D3 kids. They'll have an opportunity, too. I'm saying all this to say that you guys at the NAIA level, you guys got to be need to hit your coaches up and ask, coach, did a guy send you an email asking for offensive linemen? And his email is rdferran@gmail.com. That's Romeo Delta Foxtrot Echo Romeo Romeo A is an Apple, N is a Nancy, D is a dog. rdferran@gmail.com, and I will timestamp this. And I'm going to put my phone number down. Text that to your coach. Ask him to put my email in his subject box. Ask him to put it in there. And then ask him, why didn't he respond? Why didn't he give a good report about you, saying that you're a candidate to play at the next level? And this is even if you're going to stay for your fifth year. Why didn't he respond keep an eye on this particular athlete? He's good, but he's going to stay one more year. But keep him on your radar, coach, for next year. Ask your coaches at the NAI level what they're saying. Ask your athletic directors. See, I don't mean to stir the pot to get nothing started, but I'm real. I'm out here looking for you guys to give you a free trial offer on my service to put you on a roster to help a team out and to help yourself out getting film moving you forward. Anyway, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that later. And for all you other guys that played at an NAIA program or a D3 program, because it's only 20. If D3 kids, y'all can do it too. But I'm going to wait till I complete my list. I got 20 more schools. I got 20 more schools to hit on my D3 list, and I'm going to hit them. I'm going to be finished with them before Christmas, trying to knock them out, matter of fact, today. So when I come on here tomorrow, you can ask your coach the same thing. Why didn't you respond to Mr. Ferran when he asked you about me? All you other kids that ain't offensive linemen, whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a running back, whether you're a tight end, slot wide receiver, whatever you play, ask the same question. Ask the same question to your coach. Hey, coach, Mr. Ferran was calling to ask for offensive linemen. Even though you said you didn't, the offensive lineman wasn't good enough, why didn't you mention me to tell him, hey, you know, we got a pretty good damn running back down here. We got a pretty doggone good tight end down here. We got a pretty good defensive tackle down here. Why did they mention you? Even though you ain't got no offensive lineman, you had nobody on the team to tell me, hey, even though you're looking for offensive linemen, I got a good quarterback. I got a good running back. It's talent all on these teams. Why is your coach not sending you my way? Why are the coach not sending you my way? It's not a free service for you, but for you, it's an affordable service. Right now, the service is only $600, $300 down, $300 doing 35 days. You can pay that. Cash App, X, you can pay that Cash App, $FerRan1. The dollar sign symbol, my last name, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, the number one. At, on Cash App, $FerRan1. That's my Cash App handle, $FerRan1. Or you can ask me for a PayPal code. You can DM me for the service at Ferran Sports on Twitter, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. So if you play another position besides offensive lineman, I can help you too. I just take offensive lineman because, you know, I'm helping offensive lineman with a free trial service and quarterbacks right now on a free trial service. But if you play any other position, you can reach out to me and I can help you. But all you NAIA 2023 camp hopeful kids, I've reached out to your coaches via email. Some of them on social media, if they had a Twitter handle. But I kind of quit doing that because it was kind of exhausting because they weren't responding to that either. Tell your coach to check an email coming from rdferrand@gmail.com. rdferrand@gmail.com. And I'm going to tag all you NAIA schools in it because I'm going to tag the NAIA Twitter handles, and I hope they piggyback off of it because it's like, why are your athletic directors and your coaches not checking their emails, checking their cell phones for my messages and giving you guys an opportunity to win? It's almost like for you to tell me, oh, well, ain't nobody good enough to play at that level. Didn't you recruit them? That's my question to the coaches. Didn't you not recruit these kids? What do you mean they're not good enough? Didn't you recruit them? It's crazy. So, and then they're not even giving you the information in case you just want to try to get better, to work in my system and try to get better. Maybe a coach might see something he don't see. They're not even giving you the opportunity. Why? Beats me. I don't know. That's why I'm giving you this information. So all you NAIA program kids can call your coach and be like, coach, it was a guy sent you in an email to the program, to the athletic director, to the head coach, or to the assistant coach. I need you to research that and find out, and I want to know why you didn't recommend me for to use his service. Because this guy helps get guys anywhere from the XFL, CFL, Arena One, USFL, Alliance of American Football. He's had players playing all those leagues and all the pro developmental leagues, IFL, NAL, Fan Control Football, Champions Indoor Football League, American Arena League, all them. And currently the IFL is partnered with the XFL. So that should be your ultimate goal, trying to get with me to get on an indoor football league team. If you can't start there, I'll start at the Champions Indoor Football League level. Because they play the same style, you can get your film, move up to the IFL level before their season ends, and still possibly get a look by an XFL team in the summertime. And possibly still make it to an NFL camp if you ball out at all three levels. Excuse me. So I'm going to timestamp all this stuff. To get with me is going to be a total payment of $600. It's a discount at half price. The package is normally $1,200. But I'm doing it now up until December 31st for $600 total. $300 down, $300 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a five-day grace period. To get started with me, it only right now $300 just to get started. To complete the whole service for full management, it's $600. That other $300 payment will be due in 35 days. This discounted price is only going to be here until December 31st. After December 31st, it will be a full price of $1,200. That'll be $600 down and $600 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a five-day grace period. So take advantage of the half-price discount for a total of $600 versus $1,200, where you can just go ahead and pay down $300 down now, $300 in 35 days, and go ahead and get yourself on a indoor football league, Champions Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Fan Control Football League. Get on one of those rosters so we can move you up. So anyway, with that being said, this has been Ramiro Ferran with the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I want to remind everybody out there to keep Franco Harris died unexpectedly, suddenly this morning, days before the anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, which he's notably known for. So keep his family in your prayers. And we want to say from Stogies and Beer Radio Show, rest in peace, Franco Harris. Be love, not hate. Be light, not darkness. Remember, there's only one race. That's the human race. We're all the same people. With that being said, make sure you get your flu shots, get your COVID-19 boosters, keep a mask on you. In case you're in a crowded area, put your mask on. It is flu and cold season. And make sure you got your little hand sanitizer on you at all times. just in case you're shaking somebody's hand or whatever, they still got monkeypox going on at the same time, you know, germs being transmitted from person to person. So make sure you keep your hand sanitizer on you. With that being said, we're going to go ahead on and set black and fade it all. I'll see you guys tomorrow, God be willing, on our last day for the week, which is Thursday. So we'll be back tomorrow, God be willing, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So with that being said, I'm going to say have a great day, and I'm going to say set black and